Dorothy Smith interviewing Mr. Cletus and Mrs. Cletus Waters. Now, Mr. Waters, your father owned a store at Rocky Branch. Is that correct? Store in Rocky Branch. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, now, how far up in Rocky Branch was the store?
Oh, let me see, about 4 miles up in there.
About 4 miles up. Mm-hmm. Roughly how far from the top? Would you know?
We're about the 3 miles from store to the top of the mountain.
About 3 miles. Now, Frances Grove said that her family used to drive their cattle past your store,
yeah,
is that right?
That's right.
What did it look like? I've often wondered.
Well, it was a store.
No, I mean the cattle drive.
Cattle. Oh, this, and in the spring of the year, hundreds of them went across Mount Olin, Rappahannock,
uh-huh.
up the old mountain road.
Yeah.
And be 100 in a drove, different, and follow each other, you know,
yeah.
different farmers.
Did they ever get off of the road and sort of wander around? Or?
Oh, no, not too much.
They followed?
They followed the road. Most of them, farmers had the old cows been over before, and you turn them loose and they would leave the rest of them over.
Did you hear a lot?
Yeah, you heard a lot of bells.
You knew it was coming, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you, I bet you all went out and watched, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, were there many mountain families near? Roughly, what we're trying to find out is how many families live in that area?
It was 30 to 40 different families, you know, all around the edge of the mountain.
30 to 40. Were there any up at the top?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Do you recall any names?
Yeah, John Joe Neeson owned a big farm, and Jules worked for him, run this farm.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw the mill, and he owned a farm down on this side of the mountain, too. But that's right over top, always called the Easton place.
Now, Mr. Easton didn't live there, did he?
Well, part of the time. He lived on this side of the mountain. Then he'd go on the other side and stay too. But he didn't live there himself. His family didn't live there.
Yeah.
But he had people living on his farm.
He had tenant farmers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are any of those people still alive?
Oh, yes. Henry Jewell lived across the mountain. He lived on that farm.
Henry
Jewell? Mm-hmm.
Where does he live?
Right across the creek here. Right over on Dry Run of the Winter Farm.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How old a man is he?
Well, he's about 72 or 3.
And he lives on Dry Run?
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
he lived on this farm across the mountain, on top of the mountain.
Great. He would be a good one to interview, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
All right. Now, your father's store. Roughly, when was that started? Have you any idea?
I was roughly around about 1912.
What did he have in the store?
Well, he carried all kind of groceries, coffee, and sugar, and flour.
Kerosene,
overhauls, and shoes. And had a regular John on down store, sold shoes.
Yard goods.
Yep, both. You came in.
Sure, right.
And, kerosene. And just anything in the store, regular John on down store, I would say. Hardware. Picks and axes.
How did he get these things?
Well, it was a wholesale house here in Luray at that time.
Ah.
Oh. called Grace Flaxham.
Uh-huh.
And that's where you got most of them. And then, you know, they called the salesmen, they called them drummers then.
Yeah.
They would come around. Guy from Lynchburg would come shoot, sell shoes. I remember that salesman, a drummer, they called him then, and sell all kind of shoes. And he ordered them, and of course they come into Elgin, Kimball down there on the train, and he had to meet them with horse and wagon, haul the stuff home.
That was quite a climb up there, wasn't it? Yeah. Have you any idea how much shoes cost at that time?
I would say around from $1 to $1.50.
Uh-huh. And were they good shoes?
They were good shoes.
Were they high button shoes?
Yeah, he had high button shoes.
Uh-huh.
The women's shoes, and I remember one family lived over at Hudson Arches. That was over in right behind our side.
Yeah.
And he would come, he had a pretty big family, and rode a horse across the mountain, rode spotted horses.
Yeah.
And he'd come across, and he had a little stick cut for each size shoe he wore, and that's the way he got the size. He'd stick it down to the shoe fit. He measured the feet with a stick and cut the stick that length. And that's the way he bought his shoes for each color.
Did they buy them all year round or in the fall?
Most in the fall.
Huh?
Couldn't get the winter clothes.
How did they pay for these things?
Well, a lot of them paid by chestnuts. We bought chestnuts in, bought them by a wagon load.
Yeah.
And eggs and chickens. And at that time, all during the summer, he huckstered. They called it huckstering all across the mountain, all around the mountain and out in the valleys too. And he bought chickens and eggs and rabbits in the fall year.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, they didn't take the money for them, they took a due bill.
Yeah.
They get the sugar and coffee, and then chickens, he owed them $1, $2, or $3.
Uh-huh.
He would write out a due bill, they call it. I owed you so much, and dated his name.
Uh-huh.
He'd sign his name to L.K. Waters.
Uh-huh.
And, then in the fall of the year, they come get the clothes, and they bring the due bills, and you cash them in for the clothes, and they saved it during the summer.
Okay, now they bring their eggs and their hens.
Well, he went around and gathered them up. He hucked the horse and wagon all along the road.
And then he'd sell them?
Shipped them to Baltimore, J.W. Hughes in Baltimore. They were commission dealers.
Oh.
And bought rabbits too.
Ooh.
Bought rabbits and boxed them up.
Live rabbits or?
No dead rabbits. They kill them in the fall.
Yeah.
And boxed them up in big wooden boxes and you haul them to Kimball, put them on a train and shipped them to Baltimore. J.W. Hughes in Baltimore. And they would.
How much would he give people for a rabbit?
Oh, 20 cents for one had been shot with them. Shot and the trap rabbit gave a quarter. 25 cents a piece. And bring them in, take a string, tie them up in the wire room. Old store had a big old wire room. Hang them up there and he got almost a wagon load. He'd box them all up and haul them down to Kimball and ship them to Baltimore.
Wouldn't they turn sort of bad?
Well, I imagine they would. But anyway, they were sold. And they call commissioner dealers.
Uh-huh.
And they resell them and send him a check for it.
Uh-huh.
And he said he didn't think the Steve W. Hughes come to ever beat him out of a penny.
Uh-huh.
He shipped chickens and eggs and butter.
Butter too?
Butter, bought butter.
Mm-hmm.
He'd go around, buy butter and had a big wooden tub like dumped it in.
Mm-hmm.
You get a tub full, and you seal it up, and take it down to Elgin, most called the Kimball. We call it the Elgin Station. And Mr. Henry Kibber run the station, and he was tagging, loaded on one of those railroad wool wagons, full of that, and train to take it up.
Now, this is the first I have heard of a storekeeper going around to get the things. Usually the people said they took their things to the store.
Well, a lot of them did now, but he hustled every day, except Saturday, with horse and wagon.
And he would go where, exactly?
Well, one trip he would go out up across the mountain, the old mountain road, over in right behind the side.
Yeah.
And it would take him all day. He'd leave in the morning, sometimes 8, 10 o'clock at night, getting back.
And as the people would give him the things, he would write them a due bill.
A lot of them, yes. And of course, if they want the money, he'd pay them money too for the chickens and eggs and butter. But most of those people took due bills. They were just like cash, you know. And they saved it up, and in the fall year, that's where they bought the shoes and the winter supplies. And old Mr. Fox used to live there in Rocket Branch. And my daddy used to say, and then in the fall year, Mr. Fox always telling me, his father named Keller. He said, Keller, I'm going to have a little cash, and I'll have to pay my taxes.
Yeah.
Just probably $8 or $10 would be all the taxes be on the place.
Sure, that's right. Yeah. So then who took care of the store while your father was away all day?
My mother.
Your mother?
My mother and Uncle Jimmy Waters. That was one of my father. That was my great uncle. He stayed a long time. And Irving Waters, well, he worked with different boys, but Irving Waters, he's dead now. He would go with him on the huckster.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of times, most times, took a boy, young fellow with him to help him. But you get a whole load of chickens and eggs, they get back in, you know, tie them all up, 8 or 10 cups high on a wagon.
Must have been a good-sized wagon.
Yes, regular. We call it spring wagon, a huckster wagon, right?
Yeah. Two horses folded, or?
Two horses. Sometimes, he went out across the river from up there, went out. We're up in the Surrey, and I'm through there in Huckster and bought chickens and eggs, liver groceries. That was a great thing back in those days, so.
Yeah.
4 or 5 merchants I know around the Huckster.
Okay, now these people, when they came into the store, how were they dressed? Differently from what you were, or?
Well, no, I would say they just dressed as men, bib overhauls, most of them.
Sure.
Bib overhauls.
Were the men clean shaven?
Well, most of them was, and a few older fellas had whiskers.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few. I remember once a Dave Kennel, he lived over in Rappahannock, and he walked over to the store and carried a big, we call it a feed bag, you know, a big long seat. And he buys flour and sugar and salt and 5 gallons of corn oil. And he would come by once a month. And he would bring a few eggs and maybe chestnuts. And he owned a big old mountain to raise hogs back in there, where the wild hogs in the mountain started from.
Yeah.
And he would throw this sack, take half on one side, and put it in one end, and half another, put it across his shoulder and get his can of corn oil. And tell me, he was a great big fella. I mean, he was over 6 feet tall. And he had long whiskers.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell me he walked that mountain up this side and down the other and down through the two mountains almost and never put nothing down until he got home.
Strong. Yeah.
He lived back in there in a big old log house.
Would you say the people, I'm sure you as a child would not have noticed, but there's been quite a bit of discussion that the people were closely interbred. Did you notice any sort of weird ones, you know, that weren't quite right mentally?
No, I don't think they did. I don't think I knew any in the Rocket Branch. Really don't.
Good. All right, now, the children, when they came, if children came into the store, did they run around wildly like they do today?
No. kids in misbehaved.
Yeah.
They stood and waited till the mother, father, somebody told them they could do something.
You said there was a mill near there.
Yes, it was a big mill. 3 stories high.
Who ran that?
A fellow by the name of Sam Bean. We all called him Uncle Sam.
Uh-huh.
He built the mill. He had a mill there at the store, but before that he had a mill one up the creek we always called Thunder. But he built a new mill and built it. There was 3 stories. It had a water wheel, and he built wooden troughs and piped that water out of a big wooden trough down to the tire for the wheel. Because I remember
when he'd grind corn and wheat and buckwheat and rye.
Rye, anything you wanted to ground.
Did you ever see any of the people thrashing their rye?
No.
Or flailing it?
No.
No. All right, now, when they brought this stuff to him, would they carry it or bring it on horseback?
Horseback, or in a wagon.
Uh-huh. Did they pay him, or do you know?
Well, I think a lot of time he took out the toll. So much.
That was pretty normal, wasn't it?
That same way, thrash, he's talking about the flailing. In my time, they had thrash machines. And that's where they thrashed the wheat, buckwheat out, and they took a toll. I took to 1/10, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
Give you 9 bushels, they kept a bushel out of 10.
Yeah. There were a lot of good orchards up there, weren't there?
Yeah.
Did the people in that area make any wine or moonshine?
Well, I guess they did now. But I, of course, that's in my time now. But my great uncle, he had a still house one time in Rock Branch. That was legal, you know.
Yeah.
Him and Mr. Sam Batman had a still house together.
Not according to Dick Batman, you should hear him.
Oh no, we didn't do anything like that.
Well, I don't think he did bootleg no whiskey.
No.
But his grandfather and my great uncle owned a steel house together. I think a state man or something came around.
Yeah.
Gave it so much to have and they could sell it.
Mm-hmm.
But they did own a steel house.
Did anybody ever come in and buy an awful lot of sugar and make themselves say, ooh, I bet you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I imagine a lot of the rye that came to the mill was ground for it too.
Yeah.
Because back in those times, there's a lot of whiskey was made in the mountains.
And it was brand. One way of making a living.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Literally. They needed it when the chestnuts were gone, particularly. Do you recall there was a tremendous drought? I believe it was in 1928. Oh, you had left by then.
I had left. I remember the drought now.
Yeah.
That was 1930.
1930, yeah.
It was a big drought.
Yeah. So you wouldn't know how the mountain people coped with that.
No, but I think they lived pretty good. See, the cattle then could eat the bushes. Probably lived up here back of the Morning Star. I said he cut sassafras bushes, you know, and dried them and fed his horses. That year.
Oh boy.
You know, sassafras grew up and they're real tender, you know. Cut them down and let them dry like you did hay and fed them to his horses.
Oh, be darned. That was clever. Yeah. Now, did you ever visit any of the homes?
Oh, yeah.
What were they like?
Well, most of the homes, of course, they were just rough built.
Were they log?
There's some log house, but most I remember now was weatherboard.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't remember too many. regular old cabin and all.
Yeah.
Most of them was built from weatherboard. A lot of them were never painted.
Mm-hmm.
They most always built little houses around the edge of the mountain. Mm-hmm. Maybe four rooms and a kitchen with a porch. Or a porch on it. You know, that's about the style they built.
Did they do much visiting?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, was it just in their own area, or did they visit outside their area?
Well, I imagine it's mostly in a few miles around, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like those in Page County, would they go over to Rappahannock?
Yeah, they did go across the mountain, walk across. Where one saw, I told me, it hadn't been too long ago that, you know, we lived over in Rappahannock side, and he was courting a girl over in Rocky Branch, and he walked over and back, saying, come over on Sunday evening, mm-hmm. go to church, some little church there, and then walk the girl home, and say about 9 or 10 o'clock, walk all the way back over in Fraser Highway. That's almost over to Spurlable.
Sure it is. Yeah. Good.
Yes. He walked it more than one time, didn't think nothing about it.
Yeah.
Right by himself at night, right across, had to go across the old mountain road.
Yeah, right. Did they do much dancing, and when they'd get together, would they play music?
Well, they had a lot of dances around the mountain, yeah, music.
Mm-hmm.
Apple Butter Ballroom, that's when they, boy now, remember.
Yeah.
They have an apple butter bar, and they generally had a dance that night, too.
Yeah.
Boiled apple butter all day.
And dance that night.
Yeah, have a dance that night.
Uh-huh. Great. Did they have the custom that if you touch the side of the paddle, you got a kiss?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That was fun. That was fun. I heard that was a good way of courting a girl. I found out he liked her.
The girl got courting the boys. They did apple butter bar.
Yeah.
Mm. Of course, like I say, that was in my younger day.
Sure.
Just a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen them been around. We had done it at home. But we didn't have no dances at home. But my mother was down on dancing.
Oh.
Dancing and twisting.
Mm-hmm.
The way she was poison, the way she had told us. Yes, she was down on drinking.
What games did the boys play?
Back in, when I was growing up, well, they'd spin the pan, the post office.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did they pitch horseshoes?
Oh, you mean the party, the game?
Yeah.
The other pitched horseshoes.
Did they ever pitch rocks?
Well, not that I remember.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember pitching rocks.
George Corbin said when they didn't have any horseshoes, they used flat rocks.
Good.
Marbles?
Yeah, shot marbles.
Sort of a baseball kind of game that they play?
Yeah, wasn't baseball, we played ball, softball, I reckon you call it now, but we just saw the ball, we had to make our own balls.
Yeah.
Take the strings and wind them up, you know, when we was up there, you hit it and run around the base, and then they throwed it at you, you got hit, you was out, you know.
Do you know how these people were educated? Did they have much education?
Well, no, not too much education.
But they could count.
They could count. They could, most bad news, could read and write, you know. They had just a macro country education. That's maybe what's the sixth grade, I think he went through some of them mountain schools. See, I went to Rocky Branch. They went to seventh grade there.
Oh. Uh-huh.
I went to the old schoolhouse with Jack Sweatman, I think, owns that now.
Oh.
And they built another right above it. That spring right there. They taught seventh grade, because from first to seventh grade, one teacher taught the whole thing.
Yeah, right. So when your father gave them a due bill, they knew what they were getting.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's great.
Yeah. See, they come back and trade it for what they need for the winter. They save them, over the chickens and stuff they sold during the summer when they had plenty.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept these due bills and used them through the winter.
Yeah.
Bought the clothes. Hundreds of them I know would do that.
When you visited these families, did you ever have a meal there?
Well, not only my great uncle, no, I never did eat. No. Huh? Yeah, I did. Well, I'll tell you this one family I did. They was welcome and kept one there for me to eat, allowed to eat. And they had possum.
Oh?
They had baked possum and sweet potatoes. And they had a pretty big family. Well, I didn't know where I'd eat possums or not. So I came around fast, I took a piece of it and bit down in it, just like in the spoon with grease. And I had to excuse myself until I was six, so I didn't finish eating down there. couldn't go to the possum.
No. I hadn't heard that it was greasy, but I have heard people say they didn't like it. But it wasn't that good.
Talking about my great uncle Brad Waters, about the steelhouse, he belonged to the Brotherhood Church.
Mm-hmm.
And when he went in the steelhouse business, they put him out of church on account of making whiskey. So he from that time on, he went to the old school Baptist.
Were the people very religious that were?
Most of them was, yeah. Really.
Yeah. They did go regularly then to church.
Church, and they would have meeting. I know they would hold the schoolhouse at night, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Preachers would come, and then most all of them stayed with my great uncle up there in the Rocky Branch.
Mm-hmm.
Probably you. Someone told me he lived way above Sam Batten's out on the mountain, over the lot of that mountain.
Yeah.
And he had running water right in his house, running in and out through the zinc and out the back all the time. Never did see, never went there. That whole speaker wasn't running all the time.
I'll be there. That was modern, wasn't it?
He piped from way up on the mountain down that forest and just let it run. And they had a pipe that run in the zinc, and they had a pipe that piped it out to the little branch. And I always had a water running all the time. Had a bucket sitting under the pool all the time, running over.
Gee, that was really a modern thing.
He had a great big, eight-room house. And when the park took it, he just had fits.
Sure, yeah. Mm. Did he get paid?
No, he didn't get a whole lot out of it. I really don't know. He owned a lot of mountains, from five, I think, about $15 an acre, all they got for the mountain places.
Mm, yeah.
He had a big old mountain farm, I think, worth something around $2,500 he got bought.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything, but now, for sure, that time, I already saw to give the value.
Yeah.
What it was praised for, you know.
Did the people, did you, I have so many questions to ask. When they came to the store, did they stay around and talk?
At nights, they would loaf.
Yeah.
We and all came to the store at nights and loaf.
Uh-huh.
Every
chance
night.
To get the news, was that it?
Sit around and talk, a lot of them tell folk tales, you know.
Can you remember any of them?
Well, I can remember one of them about stuff. He was up in the mountain and the devil had got after him and chased him down the hill and he couldn't get away from him. And he said he knowed it was, because you know because of all of that and so. And the fight down below the store there, Ernest Waters, you know, Ralph's father, he could tell you, and he's a father. My father ran a store, so one of his children had a croup, something croup and stuff. He needs some big salve. He was sold big salve and all kind of medicine too. And then he came up to the store and got him a bottle of big salve. And right down below the store, this little holler, they called it Spooky Holler. And they always, a lot of people said they seen things there, something running in front of you. So Ernest, Kurt and Ernest, his kid sick because he's in a hurry, called my father out of the bed to get him this away in the night. He went back down the road and he said something white running in front of him. He hauled off and kicked at it. And his foot went through it and he fell down and broke his bottle of say, he had to come back to the store and get another. A lot of people claim they seen things there in the holler.
I'll be there.
I know I have gone up through there, go to the store, I night fool around, and be so scared. I feel my hair rise up. You'll hear them talking about all these, sit around and tell all these tales and go and follow them with about what they heard and seen.
Sure.
I never did see any.
No. Did you ever know of the people starting fires so that they'd be sure of having huckleberries?
No, I don't. I don't think in Rocky Branch.
Did they ever sell huckleberries to you?
Yeah, they bought huckleberries.
Lot?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But not as much back in that town. The biggest crop they would sell was chestnuts.
Yeah.
In that section.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of. The whole mountain was full of chestnuts.
Sure.
That's where they fed the hogs, and then way up in the mountains, fetting the hogs on chestnuts.
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Kimmel, I was telling you, lived back there. He just had, a whole mountainside. They call it a chestnut orchard here, big old trees. Mm-hmm. I've been through there. In fact, you're talking about driving cattle. I had to drive cattle across the mountain.
You have?
Since 1928.
Uh-huh.
My aunt owned a big farm back on hit a German drum. When you horses take you off, we leave your cattle early morning. Like I say, you always had our old cow been over there. You turn them out and they know right they're going to the mountain.
Yeah.
And put a bells on them.
Mm-hmm.
And go across the mountain with and we go on down across the mountain, they call it Kip Holler now, I think.
Yeah.
Park does. Used to call it Hudson. They had orchards over in there. You heard about that big arch.
Yeah.
We had to go down that mountain back on the Kennel Mountain, back ahead of German's Run. And sometimes the cattle, some of them get tired and they lay down. We leave them at Houston Place, you know, where just standing right on top of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And leave them a day or so until the rest of them go back and get them, take them a rest away down in the German drum.
Mm-hmm.
I rode horses back there dozens of times.
With all these orchards and all these people up there, and did any of them peel bark or do anything of that kind? Where would you say that if the people had stayed there, that within time there would not have been any trees?
I doubt it would. I'd probably have cut it all.
Yeah.
And all the timber off the mountain.
Mm-hmm. Does it look much different now from what it did before the park took over?
Well, I can't see a whole lot of difference on the trail. I mean, then that's in Rocky Branch section.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Most of those people that own still own the place, they let the timber grow too now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you know if any of these mountain people used any particular herbs for illnesses?
Well, they had one they call, catnip.
Catnip. Made tea.
And they,
what was that for?
I think that was for 6 summers.
Uh-huh.
And sarsaparilla, but I don't know what that was.
What was that? That is you or something. That's made of salve.
And then there's a one called feather peel.
Called what?
Feather peel.
Feather peel?
Uh-huh. And when you fix that, you got the plank and put it in a skillet with lard and fried it and made it fat. And that was used for sore.
What is feather peel?
It's a plant that grows. Now, I don't have it, but I have some neighbors up the road that have it.
You put it in lard.
I'm going to fry it in an orange skillet. And it'll turn green, watch this.
And the salve was used for?
For soreness, any kind of soreness. And it's great.
Do you know if that's spelled like a sound?
I think it is.
F-E-W-N-P-A-T-H-E-R,
feather, N-N-P, F-E-W.
That's a new one. Great. There are so many of those things really work, and people are beginning to find out that.
Well, my sister, we lived in Rocket Branch, father run the store there, she got diphtheria.
Oh.
And the neighbor seals were across the hill from us. Their daughter had two. She died. And old Dr. Bertram Hammer come up there. Of course, they wouldn't let us, none of those kids go in. You know, had her in a room.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what kind of bark, or some gorilla bark, I believe, that they had to go get to make a syrup out of it for her to take if she gets bleeding that was thickening the blood.
Yeah.
Some kind of bark there, and they had bark. I believe it was a willow bark, I believe it was.
Willow
or bark. You have bark to make a tea, and that's supposed to thicken your blood. See, your folks, you know, with bleeds, that's where some of them bled to death, you know, with diphtheria.
Yeah.
Back in that time. And the snake. Snake bit my older sister up there at Copperhead. And this Orphan Sam Bean was down, he was happened to be there at the store. And he had a plate under the platform where you fed her kittens.
Yeah.
She went out and get that, and she reached under there and something bit her on the finger, and this old platform raised up, and there was a big Copperhead. And they said, oh, he's a terrible big snake. And of course, Copperhead, you dead poison.
Sure.
So someone said kill him real quick, and Uncle Sam Bean always knew to break the plates and just get him off, took a stick, push him off the plate, and said we'll kill him slow, took a hacks and just sawed his head off. He said we'll kill him slow. Then sister, of course everybody around the mountain had a different remedy. First they put it down in kerosene, cut your finger, so old Mr. Frank Jewell, I believe, well, he was probably lived in the mountains. He said take a knife and cut her finger and have a black chicken live and cut it open, stick your hand in it. And or they said she had fits, she was 5 years old at that time. And took it and somebody held this live chicken, cut him open and cut her finger and stuck her hand in there. And of course somebody said they just done everything with mother and father. That's old people.
Yeah.
We tell you to do, tell the doctor, because the doctor had to ride a horse then.
Sure.
From Blue Ray. And he always said that's what saved their life, everything they used.
That chicken worked. They say it turned green.
It had to be a black one now. This old Mr. Jewel, it had to be a black chicken. My father, I
think. I heard it had to be a white one.
Well, that's what he said, black one. So, you know, my father, he run the store, always had a big hen house full of chickens he had bought.
Sure.
Save them up till he got a load to ship.
Yeah.
And he just run out and grabbed the black chicken and cut him open. Also, they had to hold her hand, hold the chicken. And anyway, she got.
Yeah,
he got old in anyway.
Yeah.
I just wonder, I guess all families can do it.
Well, they they're beginning to find out that these old remedies really did work, and it's a shame that there is no real written record of them. Most people can't recall them. How about Christmas? How was Christmas celebrated?
Well, I don't, it's too much different than it is now. First, you didn't have lights then. You had,
yeah.
Because we always did at home, had a Christmas tree and all kind of decorations. We used to get these little paper bales. You remember they'd fold up?
Oh.
Hang them on. My dad would hang them all through his store, great basement.
Mm-hmm.
And he sold toys.
He
Christmas.
Did.
Get wagon in, wagons, and doll babies. And we wouldn't put them out about a week before Christmas. And the day after Christmas, he'd pack them all up and put them back. He never sold them more after that.
Uh-huh.
For Christmas. And oysters, that was a great thing.
Oh, so, yeah.
Because he had to meet to go to down Kimball and get a whole load of oysters.
Yeah.
And a lot of these mountain fowlers, a lot of people lived in the mountain. They would, and at night he would find out get the oysters, but they had a great big old wood stove, get a great big kettle, get built, and make a big oyster stew and give everybody oysters.
Oh, great. How about firecrackers? Did
oh,
they
yeah, firecrackers. They were a great thing to sell then, firecrackers.
Yeah.
With Roman candles, you know.
Yeah. So they did give toys.
Oh, yeah. Doll babies. Didn't get a whole lot like you do now, but did get a few doll babies. They weren't very big price then when they bring them. Didn't cost too much, and a whole lot too back in that time.
Sure. Would you say the people were an honest people, or, you know, could you trust them if they said they were going to do something, or?
Yes, you could. I never know any of them that you couldn't trust. If they told you they'll do something, they done. So, Pa, I live across, way across the mountain, and he wanted an order, and paid Father, somebody, Pa. His wife had left the money, and they wanted to know when he was delivered. It was right smart stuff. He had to make a special trip. You know, Father wrote it on there, I'll deliver it tomorrow, and give it to his wife or some of his people at house. He wasn't out. He came in and found out he had tomorrow on there. He walked all the way across that mountain that night to get the date put on there. He said, tomorrow never comes. You want the day and then the date. Tomorrow didn't do because always could be tomorrow.
Sure.
They walked all the way across on the right hand side down to the store to get all I wanted after you just changed the date. You know, on Tuesday, 19th, whenever it was. But he didn't walk to tomorrow on there.
You know, you keep talking about them walking. Did they walk a lot?
Oh, yeah. Walk or rode a horse.
Mm-hmm. They would come to your father's store on the Rappahannock side, and yet there was all that Estes, Charles Estes complex down near Sperryville.
But we're closer over this way where they lived in. You go down across the mountain, you turn to your left, went way back in the other hall. Now, it was just close to the store when they come up to the top mountain, go down to Sperryville or come back to the red close, because I know that was where Hudson Archer was. Wires, different families wires, just the finest people we ever met. I mean, honest, they just worked in the mountain all the life, and they rode horses all the time.
Mm-hmm. Everybody made their own clothes.
One.
Oh, they did.
Never bought nothing made, ready-made.
And there's wires over there, and like I said, they had spotted horse, kept all every horse I ever seen had was spotted, brown and white. And she rode all the way across there on side and put her groceries, sugar and coffee all on the back of her saddle. And had a long, big black skirt. Then she had a big lap robe she throwed over that. except when she got on the horse. Mm-hmm. Old Storeforth was up high enough here, so they had a horse up and she's sitting in the side saddle. Roadside saddle. Tell me she could jump gates with them. She wouldn't have no girls or nothing. She'd seen her jump gates and poles on the side, sitting on the side.
When they did the upstream, they would take orders. They'd go this week and deliver, and then take orders for the next week, see, and they'd deliver that.
That's what you knew, what they wanted, how much coffee.
That's when you would know what each person wanted. Usually in the store, if you've got maybe a new kind of a shoe in or something, you might take one pair along to show them off.
Uh-huh.
And then probably they'd order some.
Yeah.
Coffee, father told me one tale. Some city people from Washington owned a summer home. And of course, when he came up, he always sold them their groceries, their coffees and stuff. And he had a certain kind of loose coffee he furnished. They claimed they couldn't buy it anymore. Never tasted right. And so he got sold. It came in a 100-pound or 50-pound bag. You know, got a pretty big bag of it. And so they ordered 10 pounds at a time. And of course, you know, and then our bulk of coffee came out of it.
Yeah.
And so one day he came around and taking orders, and this lady said, if you wanted 10 pounds of coffee, we're going to take some back to Washington. That is it. Don't have it right now. He said, I got Auerbacher. No, indeed, we can't drink that stuff. We can get that. He said, well, I'll see where I can get it. So next week he didn't get it. So this salesman told him, this drummer, said that loose call Auerbacher was the very same thing, only he put it up in packages, named it there.
Uh-huh.
That's the reason they had quit discontinuing this loose call.
Yeah.
So he said the very same thing. So he just poured it out of the regular Auerbacher coffee and ground it, put it in the regular brown paper bag and took him 10 pounds and said, and the week after next he went back. He thought, well, he was terrible. What they would say about it. They all tell us, boys, I'm glad you got that coffee. And he said, that's the best coffee you ever drank. He shipped Auerbacher coffee all the way to Washington for him, all the time he runs stores.
Oh, cash value 1 cent. Even 1 cent. That is amazing. Ben, that was coffee beans that your father
sold. Coffee beans that he had to grind. His old hand thing you grind.
Yeah.
For that time, people bought the beans and ground it themselves.
That's right. Yeah.
Everybody had a coffee grinder.
Sure.
Yeah. Did the people ever bring cabbages into your father's?
To buy.
To sell.
No. He never bought any. Of course, he was up in there where everybody else had them raised.
Yeah.
And he just never did buy a cabbage.
He made sauerkraut in a 20-gallon crock.
Wooden crock.
No, for all
wooden barrels.
All the stuff. But then they got down to these 20-gallon crocks, you know, out of just like the milk pot.
Mm-hmm.
And that was quite a time cutting that cabbage for that.
Oh,
it was an all-day job.
And then the mashing it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You talking about the amount of people, most of them, when you go to the house, they would real beg you to eat.
Everybody wanted you to stay and have dinner.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Uncle Bradley Waters, he never had any trouble, and Lord, he'd go to the house, he would get insulting if you didn't eat with him.
They seem to be so very warm-hearted.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because now that I'm just telling you about the Rappahannock and that side. Now, in a certain part of the mountain, of course, maybe all of them like maybe just tales that some of them would get drunk and get pretty mean sometimes. But I never did up in that section.
Mm-hmm.
They all was good people.
Yeah.
And,
Well, did you ever have any much to do with Jewel Hollow?
Yeah, we hucked her up in Jewel Hollow.
Did you ever hear about any times of the sheriff having to go up there to Jewel Hollow?
No. No.
They didn't have many problems up there.
Probably went up there and was doing probation, the haze hunting, whiskey now. But I don't think now one fella lived up in Rock Branch, left in the mountains, Smelson. Carl Smelson, you remember that? And he was a young fella, and he'd go out and try to act Jesse James, get drinking, you know. And anyway, I heard my father say one time he went up here at Mount Zion Church, having a love feast, riding the horse. And he'd run around the church hard as you can go, hollering like Jesse James, shooting up in the air. And of course, people thought he was shooting through the church, scared everybody to death. Of course, when they all run out, he took off, and he went back to the mountain, up the Rock Branch. And anyway, they found out who he was, and they got a warrant for him. And actually, Carl was mean, you make him mad, push him, but he was a good fellow. He didn't treat him all right. Anyway, they said one rainy, 2 days after that, a rainy day, on Miss Nathan Satter, that was Bill Satter's father, was a sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
Came up, drove in the buggy, came in the store there, and the store full of people. They loafed all the time in the rainy, bad times.
Sure.
And called the father out and wanted to know where, he asked where he wanted to know where Carl Smelson lived. So I didn't want everybody to know where I'm heading for. So as you better watch Carl, might shoot you, push him in your house, and I won't worry about that. By himself, it's Satter. He drove one up and he tied his buggy out from my house, and so he got to the house. Carl was sitting in the wood box, you could hear him, playing his banjo.
Uh-huh.
And old Satter just walked right in, so he walked in, Carl grabbed for a second wood, and was such that Carl wouldn't do that now. He'd be a good boy going to town. We won't do much with him, because he got in the buggy and went down the road riding with him.
Gee, have you any idea how the people adjusted after they were moved out of the mountain?
Well, some of them never did adjust. Like old Mr. Kleiser,
yeah. That
uncle, body bad. He sat around
crying.
He had a word in using God. God, the body, that's what he thought. He said they took the body's place away from him, and he said, now, took my nice home away from him, he would say. He did have a nice home. That's what I'm saying. He had running water, big 8-room house. You know, by him and his wife. And he had plenty, made a good living. He sawed me on, raised a few sheep and a few cattle.
And they loved the mountain.
And he sold posts. You know, that's the way he did work himself.
In those days, people didn't want so much. They were happy with what they had.
That's right. So then you would say the adjustment was mighty difficult.
For the older one.
How about the younger one?
Well, I think the young one kind of adjusted themselves.
Well, they didn't have much education.
Well.
So how did they get along?
Well, most of them, I guess, worked. There's a lot of good carpenters came out of the mountains, you know, to build. And they were probably better carpenters. He's really educated, you know.
Yeah. Were there any stonemasons in that area?
No, there was no stone. I don't remember anybody was a stonemason.
Mm-hmm.
You got all of them out of the step back stands.
That's right.
Graves and
pits. Yeah.
They all. I guess they kind of get this kind of trade.
Yeah.
Now up in that hall, most of them was woodworkers, carpenters, sawmill, and I guess a young one would follow the trade of the father, you know.
Yeah.
Sawmill
business
was a big business.
Yeah.
You don't know what you have told us. Can you think of anything else? I've been doing all the questioning.
I can think one thing I'd done, I told you about the snake.
Yeah.
Amos Waters and Ralph and James, that's my brother, myself and Major Smith, and the old big water wheel on this mill. It wouldn't run next mill distance in the mill after before we left them up there. So we climbed this wheel, walked up on these steps, you know, where they built the wheel. We got off top of that thing, took off for us. And all jumped off but me and caught me, and I went down underneath of it. Down in the water, you know. Caught my foot, and I think Amos is dead now. He grabbed me and drug me out. I thought he was on the ground. I said, sure you would have. So we all sit down, don't tell my father or mother about this. Nobody tell nobody nothing. But we never did ride the wheel no more. We hadn't been getting on it, and just lucky enough to jump off and
yeah.
To the ground. But see, this wheel was big, it came under, and the water was down underneath of it.
Sure.
And all jumped off, got off but me. I got going too fast, and some way I fell and went down underneath.
And so you were drowned and never recovered.
That's the boys, Amos and Ralph and all of this board.
Yeah.
We had plenty of groundhogs in the summer and dig them out, pick the shovel and dig under the rocks.
Tell me about the little wagons too that you
make. And make wagons. You take a cross-cut saw and saws a big log, gets a big log laying in the mountain everywhere there where they peel the bark off.
Yeah.
Good round log because about 2-inch blocks off of it, get one of these big old augers.
Yeah.
Or a big hole and take 2x4 and make an axle, make us a wagon, pour all that heavy thing around through the mountain. Make a wagon.
Sure.
Yeah.
You have to shore the one out here that's just similar to some that he's made.
No, well, no, they were solid wood.
Yeah, that's right.
I just finished an antique wagon out here.
Did you?
A little kid wagon. Well, but there was a good time. I know we moved out in 1926, I believe.
Why did your father leave there?
Well, the business then got a little bit slow, you know, in the mountain. People began to go to Luray more. Cars came on, you know, in that time, Model D. And he had a chance to buy a store. First, and I was going to retire there from Monument. That was a real good spot. So bought that, started the grocery business, sold out to Homer Fox. He moved the store down to his place.
Yeah.
You heard Frank and Miller.
Sure.
Tell him about the Model T your father bought.
Your father, his first one had bought a car in the Rocky Branch, I reckon.
Mm-hmm.
Or none of them. Anyway, Morris Waters, you heard of him. He
yeah.
sold Ford always. He worked for Ian Harrisburg. So my father bought a car. It had a brass radiator on the Model T, an open touring car.
Mm-hmm.
And so Uncle Morris brought it up to him. And my father, he built him took a buggy shed and board and fixed it up for his car. Which is why the car was a luxury back in that
time. Sure.
So he brought this Model T up, and Mr. Harper Stricker worked for the place, came with, drove another Model T. He'll take my uncle then back. He was something. So he put this car in the shed and he told my father, and he said, now Keller, that's his brother. He said, Keller's the only people drive this car now until I can go back up here on Sunday and train you, learn you how to drive it. So he said, up here in the mountain, you're running down over the bank somewhere and hurt, kill yourself. And I said, okay. He said, I'll be up now Sunday. We'll let you drive some more. Well, my uncle hadn't got out of hearing distance. And a bunch of people around the store there. That he go down back to the car, brings up in front of the store and took everybody to ride up the Parks Road and back. Or he said, I couldn't wait till Sunday to drive this. So I said, I've already been paid for it, so it's mine.
And everybody was just waiting their turn to get a ride.
Of course, they had a kerosene lamp on.
Yeah.
Headlights.
Sure.
Tail light. And I was going to Kimball Mound in the mountain with him. Then he finally had old Model T truck. And I stood up and tell him when he got out of the road at night. All up through them hollers.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me he huckstered over Rappahannock and all through there, and came back late at night, a couple of horses, and somebody be with heck, and put something white on him, walk right in the middle of the road so he could see where to go.
Oh, this has just been absolutely marvelous. You don't know how we thank you. Oops.